And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this very rainy Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. It's nasty out there, folks. So be careful. There's a lot of people out there. They're in cars. It's very wet. It's raining hard, and there was some ambulances and fire trucks, absolutely cutting out to go somewhere. So hope everybody's all right.
Yes, for sure. It is gross out there. Saw a nice combination on the way in here, Joe. People going entirely too fast and entirely too slow. Nice combination of that on the way down here.
Yeah,
it's like wow, you're going 70 miles an hour on a back road in the rain. That'll work out well. Or, wow, you're going 15 miles an hour on the interstate. Probably need to speed up a little bit there, boss.
Yeah, you're gonna probably see both in a situation like this. I had someone who, like, had their left turn signal on, and, you know, like, they're in the straight lane to the right of me.
Yeah.
And they're in front of me, and I'm like, okay, so. And then finally at the last minute, as I'm like, okay, I guess they just accidentally have their signal on. Nope. Get in my way. Okay.
I guess I had the signal on, but
good times.
Good stuff. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Pretty accurate description, I would say, to start on the way in. Some ponding out there, so just give yourself a few extra minutes.
Don't hydroplane.
Yes, do not hydroplane. Yeah. That is your safety minute brought to you by Robbie Stanley here on the program.
There you go.
Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. Got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into with him. We are now less than a week away from the NFL trading deadline, and we will touch on some of that with Kuharsky as well a little bit later in the program, so looking forward to that. We will get into the Nashville Predators later in the program. They lose last night to Tampa Bay, and the offense, pretty rough through 11 games. So what does that mean moving forward? We will get into that a little bit later in the show. Joe, I want to start on the NFL front. And get your thoughts on the AFC. So, you'll be happy to know Titans are tied with the New York Jets for last place in the AFC. So, when I start talking about playoff teams here in a minute, you can forget those two. But, through 8 weeks here, you've got the Colts at 7-1 with the best record. Titans have seen them twice already. The Patriots are at number 2 right now, who the Titans have seen. Denver at number 3. Pittsburgh at 4. Buffalo 5. The Chargers at 6. And the Kansas City Chiefs at number 7. Those are your 7 playoff teams at the moment in the AFC. Now, Jacksonville's right there. Houston at 3-4 is number 9 in the conference right now. So, you know, an AFC that has been pretty deep over the last few years is not really all that deep by the numbers right now. We'll see if that changes as the season goes on. And if, you know, Lamar Jackson gets healthy and the Ravens go on the run and all those things. So we'll see how this changes. But Colts, Patriots, Broncos, Steelers, Bills, Chargers, Chiefs, your 7 playoff teams in the AFC at the moment. What do you make of what we're seeing in the AFC right now? How the picture is shaping up and how it could change as it moves forward here. As we know, you're still you're sticking with the Ravens to get out of there and win the Super Bowl.
I am. I am sticking with the Ravens. But I need to see you know, the everything coming together real soon. Obviously, I mean, first of all, the math tells you they have to go on a tear. Beating the Bears, though, with Huntley at quarterback when the Bears were playing pretty well was a very good step forward. But I think the story of the AFC is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts are, I know that friend of the show, James Boyd, I know, you know, on our Slack channels, like, he's working on some stuff. Like their offense is historically good right now. Their offense is being compared to the great offenses. You know, we're throwing around, you know, the greatest show on turf and, you know, by the numbers, that's what we're talking about. Now, are they really that good? I mean, they have one great player. You know, and then they have a guy who's obviously playing really well at quarterback and a lot of good receivers. But at this point, I mean, I think they're the story. And if they're not the story, then I think the Patriots are the story. Like, I still have my doubts that the Patriots are going to beat the Bills and win the AFC East But at the same time, they already have one in their building, right?
Yep.
So I think it's, you know, those two have made it fun. I mean, it's weird to think about, oh, how cute. The Colts and Patriots are good, you know.
Yeah.
But they've kind of made it fun. And I think the Chargers have kind of receded a little bit. And yet I still, if you tell me that Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens are going to be the three teams that ultimately end up being the best three, I wouldn't bat an eyelash right now.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City feels like they're coming on here. They've won three in a row. They're 5-3. Rashee Rice is back in the fold there, and it looks like he's made a big difference in their offense. So, look, we know if they get things rolling and figure things out, they're going to be tough to deal with. Now, I will say you're already dealing with three losses there, and one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that has made their run so impressive here is, like, most of their playoff games have come at home. Like, they just spend a whole lot of time at Arrowhead because they're so good. So, are they going to be in a spot at the end of the year where they're hosting playoff games all the way through again? Or are they going to have to go win maybe a couple of rounds on the road by the time the playoffs come around? I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, right now, they're not winning their own division. The Denver Broncos are at 6-2. And I don't know, Joe. Like, I watch the Broncos play, and sometimes I think they're really good, and sometimes I think, man, they're really lucky to be 6-2. I mean, probably should have lost to the Titans in week one. So I don't really know what to make of the Broncos as of yet. I know they've got a good defense. Their offense has been really hit or miss to me so far this year, but they're going to be in the mix. You know, the Chargers have had all these injuries, particularly on their offensive line. They're 5-3. They're in the mix right now. I don't know that I consider them like a threat to win the AFC. You know, having said that, they're getting ready to go to 6-3 because they're playing the Titans this week. So they're going to be right there in the mix in the division as they move forward here too. So that division in particular, the AFC West, is going to be pretty interesting to see, you know, outside of the Raiders, what happens moving forward here.
I like how I believe that's the first mention of the Titans opponent this week. And, like, I honestly didn't even – I was like, is that – oh, yeah, they have a game. And
oh, yeah,
it's
they
the,
play.
Oh, yeah, they play the – who are they going to lose to? The Chargers are going to beat them this week. Okay, good to know. Yeah.
Home game.
Yep.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of people in the stands, I'm sure.
See, that's one of those games where –
Chargers don't have any fans. And
yeah, that might be like the – yeah. Easy in this Sunday, folks. But, yeah, it's too bad with the Harbster because, you know, maybe – I mean, look, they're still in there. I mean, they're still in the mix. But those injuries have – I mean, they've had a lot. And there's always a team or two every year, or more than that, who just – that's the story, you know, in this league. That's just how it goes. But, yeah, look, Kansas City, like you said, they've played most of those games at home. But then it's like a couple years ago when I was convinced then, too, like, oh, it's the Ravens' time, and they just go into Baltimore and win that game. And by the way, you know, Travis Kelce isn't just like Mr. Taylor Swift either anymore. Like, he actually is. I mean, he had a big game last game, and it looks like he's a little bit more explosive than he was last year. I mean, maybe this is his last year. I have no idea. But you put Rice in with everything else they have, and it's starting to look pretty good. It's starting to look pretty familiar there. So, you know, it's but I just can the Patriots and Colts, you know, can they continue to do what they're doing? I mean, there's people talking about Drake May as, you know, the guy who's really, really ascending. You know, Josh McDaniels, he may not be good when he leaves New England, but, boy, as the OC in New England, the guy gets it done. And, I mean, I think this is huge for him in terms of just the whole, well, yeah, he had Brady.
Yeah.
This looks pretty good, you know, with no Brady around. By the way, Brady, boy, when's that winning attitude going to rub off other Raiders, man? He's in the coaches' meetings. He's in all this stuff, and it's looking pretty ugly over there. But I think the big disappointments, obviously, Houston Texans would be one of the huge disappointments. I mean, the Dolphins are too, but I didn't expect that much out of them.
The Ravens are at the moment. We'll see.
Yeah, the Ravens for sure. But, man, like, you know, watching the Steelers the other night, they're average, you know. The Bengals are probably screwed after what they just did against the Jets. And, I, you know, Cleveland Browns are what? Apparently, I mean, Albert Breer saying they should trade Myles Garrett. So take the $90 million dead cap hit. And
yeah,
I, like, what is somebody giving Cleveland for Myles Garrett?
I mean, multiple first round picks would be what it
like,
would be.
Would two firsts even get him?
Probably not.
I mean,
like, Micah went for a couple first round picks.
Yeah.
And Myles Garrett is better than Micah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little older.
He is old.
So that's, you know, there's that in there.
He had five sacks on Sunday.
And by the way, they got blown out still.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants out of there so bad. That would be. Are we going to have, that's another thing, are we going to have a huge move, you know, or more this year from the contenders?
By the way, Drake May, number three on the board right now on the MVP odds. It's Mahomes at one, Josh Allen at two, Drake May at number three. And Allen and May pretty close in that in those odds right now. I think if it keeps going this way, Mahomes is going to win the MVP. We'll see if it goes any differently, but
God.
If it keeps going this way, he's going to win.
Just the Mahomes fatigue.
Although I will
doesn't
say,
matter.
If you stack up the numbers, you know who's better? You do. Jordan Love. He's better.
Where's he on that?
He's number five. Tied for number four, actually. With
Jordan
Stafford.
Love.
If he plays like he did the other night, he's got a chance.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad in Hendersonville. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys, I got a kind of a little crazy one for you, but I'm actually dead serious about it, and I know you can't wait for that with that kind of intro.
There we go.
There's a guy, he's not good enough to play in the NBA, so you haven't heard of him. So he's barely, you know, you'd be like a D-League player. There's a couple of these guys. The guy's name is Taco Fall. He's listed at 7'6" and a half. There's another guy that you haven't heard of because he's not quite good enough. He's listed at 7'5". His name is Bobo Marinovich. Why not bring these two guys in, roster spots with the Titans, now, and put them on the kickoff, to block a kickoff? You're talking about guys that could probably get up 13, 14 feet in the air. What is the analytics of where the football, as it goes back, with the way these guys are kicking these long bombs, what is the analytics of where it goes over the line of scrimmage on a kick? And has it ever been thought about to literally, if we can put these freaks that are almost 8 foot tall that have a reach that goes to 12 foot tall or taller and then could potentially jump another half a foot to get to 14, 14 and a half. Has that ever been talked about, or is it as crazy as my call? Your thoughts.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it.
I'm a huge Taco Fall fan, by the way. UCF had a hell of a career.
I did not expect the clamoring from Titans fans to sign Taco Fall today, but
you know what, man?
Why
I'm
not?
I'm not against it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, just
It's worth a try.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that could work. And seriously, like, if you're the Titans this year, you almost need to try to have like a Savannah Bananas kind of, like, you know, gimmick.
Some gimmicks out there,
right?
out there.
I mean, Curtis Douglas plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. He's 6'9", 250 pounds. Get him out there on the field goal block too.
There you go.
Watching some 6'9" dude on skates last night. It's like, wow. He looks like Yusi Saros' father out there. It's unbelievable.
I had a point. And then I ruined it.
Sorry.
it's okay. I'll think of it. Or maybe I won't.
Order your Taco Fall Titans jerseys now. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We're going to get into the quarterback part of this with the Titans coming up next, including a trend around the league that is continuing. And at this point, I think forcing you to take notice. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking quarterbacks, Cam Ward, and a trend in the NFL at this point, Joe, that's pretty hard to ignore. And it doesn't mean it's going to play out this way in every situation, but we are now in the last 4 or 5 years looking at multiple quarterbacks that did not work out, in some cases to extreme degrees, in their first stop where they were drafted pretty high and have since moved on to different teams, different situations, and are playing really well. I mean, probably the best example of that, even though he worked out better than some of these in his first stop, would be Mayfield, right? Mayfield drafted by the Browns. He actually got the Browns to the playoffs, which is a heck of an accomplishment.
And killed the Steelers in a playoff game.
He did.
And played great.
and then he had some injuries that he dealt with later in his career in Cleveland, and then they decided to move on from him and bring in Deshaun Watson. That worked out well. Really good stuff from Cleveland there, and they're still reaping the benefits of that. So he moves on. He ends up in Carolina. He showed up to L.A. and played a game like 2 days later and led them to a win, and then eventually ends up in Tampa Bay, where he's been really darn good the last 3 years. And this year, you know, we were going through MVP odds earlier. He's not near the top of the odds list at the moment. But if he keeps playing the way that he's played all year, he's going to be there at the end of the year in the mix. I mean, right now, Mahomes, Allen, May, Stafford, Love, Jonathan Taylor, and Jared Goff all have better odds for MVP than Baker Mayfield does. Baker Mayfield's playing really darn well this year.
He is. I mean, it hurts him that that Monday night game, he played the Lions like a bunch of backups in it. I don't know what the heck happened that night, but it just didn't look good. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, he's one of the best QBs in the league. And so it just continues on and on with this second act, I guess in some cases, third act, fourth act. I mean, yep. Sam Darnold's been with how many teams?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's another one. So you've got Mayfield. There's Darnold, who's playing well for Seattle this year. You've got Geno Smith in the mix all this, and I know that this year is not going very well for him, but he did have, you know, success going from the Jets to the Seahawks, and now that he's with the Raiders, it's not going quite as well this year, but, you know, kind of a reclamation project there. And then, obviously, the most recent example and the one that the Titans have just seen up close is Daniel Jones and what he's doing with the Colts this year, which, by the way, includes a 7-1 record, completing 71.2% of his passes. He's thrown for 2,062 yards already, 8-5 an attempt, which is a pretty darn good number, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Like, he's playing really well. And Jonathan Taylor, obviously, is the most important part of their offense, but Daniel Jones is playing really well in Indianapolis. So, you know, Jones is with the Giants. He has basically one good year with the Giants where they make the playoffs and he gets his contract and all those things. That ends up flaming out. He goes to Minnesota to sit behind Sam Darnold last year, and now he's playing really good football with the Indianapolis Colts. So, like, at this point, Joe, there's enough examples of this happening in the NFL. I think you got to pay attention to it to some degree, right? Like, it's quarterbacks that were drafted high that obviously have good ability and talent that did not work out in their first stop that end up working out later on in their career. So what does it mean? Like, how do you judge quarterbacks? And how much of it is just purely situation, right? Like, Baker Mayfield, the Cleveland Browns. Sam Darnold, the New York Jets. Daniel Jones, I guess, to a lesser degree. Like, I wouldn't put the Giants in the same level of dysfunction or chaos as the Jets and Browns have been over a long period of time.
Right.
And Giants have their moments where they're bad, and then all of a sudden they'll randomly make the playoffs and make a deep run. But how much of it is just situation? And ultimately, how does this all relate back to Cam Ward as we're watching him play? The timeline for these quarterbacks is shorter than ever before in the NFL, where you have to show something. Like, how do you factor all of this information in if you're the Titans, Amy Adams Strunk, Mike Borgonzi, all these people making decisions for the Titans moving forward?
Yeah, I think the whole league, you know, it's like, okay, everybody pay attention, because there's some teams out there who are giving up, and then they're watching someone go, you know, light it up elsewhere. I mean, different kinds of examples, but obviously Ryan Tannehill here. Now, Ryan Tannehill had a lot of productive years in Miami, but eventually, they got a second deal, and then they gave up on him. It's not the same. Jared Goff in Detroit. Jared Goff, I mean, his whole career, he's been in a good situation. He went to the Super Bowl with the Rams, but they gave up on him. And I don't think they were wrong. Like, they have a better quarterback, to me, in Matthew Stafford, but if you went by the numbers, it's pretty close. Yep. I think Stafford is definitely better. But that's also goes to show you, you know, like, where you land and what's around you. I mean, Goff is the ultimate, to me, example of got some really good skills, but, like, also limitations where with some of these teams, it would look very different. But I think it's just, I mean, it's not going to be true of everybody. But I think over time, if you can handle the ups and downs and the bumps, you know, a lot of these guys are going to get better. They're going to improve. So Are there examples? I mean, I think Josh Allen would be the primary one, and maybe there are others. But I think Josh Allen would be the primary example. If Josh Allen's early years at Buffalo happened now, would they bail on him?
They might, yeah.
So, you know, back then, I don't think it was that much. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in the city of Buffalo, it was like, what the hell are they doing? I mean, I thought that. I'm like, hey, good job. You drafted a linebacker who can't throw. Congratulations. You got the next Tebow. But obviously, they stuck with him, and he became a great player. Now that may not happen. I'm trying to think of other examples of you know, obviously it wasn't great early for Trevor Lawrence, and yep, it still hasn't been great. You know, that's the thing. Some people sort of become are what they are, and it's not like it's terrible to have him as your quarterback. Yeah. But
even with him, like, he had a, you know, 7-8 week stretch when they made the playoffs where he looked really good.
Yeah.
And then he won a playoff game, right? So it's like, well, you see that. It's like, well, it's, you think it's there at some point, and then the more distance you get from that, the more maybe you realize that maybe that was the aberration, and he just kind of is what he is.
Yeah, like some of these, I can't, like, again, the Jets are just a different situation. So based on what we saw from Sam Darnold, like, I don't blame them for moving on, you know, and I think he just got better. Is Zach Wilson destined at some point to reemerge and be good? I don't think so. But, I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. Mac Jones, I still think Mac Jones, even though he's had some good moments, you know, with the Niners in that fill-in role, he also then a little bit of like, okay, yeah, he's probably more of a backup. But even he seems to have improved some, or just maybe he went to a place where you can look better as a quarterback because you're with the 49ers.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting to. How much of this is situation? You're right. Like, you're going to find examples that we've just talked about of quarterbacks moving on to different spots, getting deeper in their career and getting better. I mean, there are also going to be quarterbacks that are drafted high that just aren't good and then never figure it out. And that's always been the case. That'll always be the case as they move forward. And look, I have no idea. We're 8 games into Cam Ward's career. Don't know if he's going to be good. Don't know if he's going to be bad. Don't know if he's going to leave here at some point and eventually be good somewhere else, or if he's going to be the Titans quarterback for the next 15 years and win 3 Super Bowls. All those things are on the table right now, by the way. Like, it's too early to make any judgments on that. But I will say, you look at Mayfield, the Browns, Darnold and Geno Smith and the Jets and Daniel Jones and the Giants and how that's gone the last few years. And situation matters. So I guess my real question is, are the Titans and their situation, is that dooming Cam Ward? We're going to get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The Blue Raiders take on Jacksonville State tonight at 6:30. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, talking quarterbacks, Cam Ward, situations, and how that impacts him moving forward. So how much harder are the Titans and their situation with their roster, now having fired their coach, going to a different coach? Whenever they hire this coach, Cam Ward's going to be on his third play caller in the span of one calendar year as the time that comes around. And then, oh, by the way, the roster's horrible. So there's also that that you have to factor in as well. Are we afraid of the Titans being what the Titans have been over the last few years, which is one of, if not the, worst franchises in the NFL? Is that automatically setting Cam Ward up for failure? And I guess here's where I'm coming from with that, too. You know, Cam Ward, I think we've seen enough, Joe, at this point to say that there's some ability there. Like, he's got some talent to him. He's made some throws where you're like, wow, okay, that pops. It's a pretty good throw. I mean, his first touchdown pass was unbelievable, the play that he made on that play. However, like, I also think we've seen enough from him to know that he's not like some generational, can't-miss, you know, Peyton Manning-type quarterback out there. And he wasn't that in the draft process, and that doesn't mean he can't end up being a great quarterback. But it's not like you're dealing with just some phenom out there either. So factoring all that in, how concerned should we be that the Titans and how bad they are and how bad the situation is around him, independent of him by himself, is just setting him up for failure, given that that's how it's gone for a lot of these quarterbacks that we just talked about. Of they were in horrific situations, and then they got out of those situations and all of a sudden looked a lot better.
Yeah, well, I just think it's just a question of, are the Titans going to continue to be a crap team or not? Because I don't think they're ruining him. And again, the things that we're talking about here, we're talking about a bunch of guys who weren't actually quote-unquote ruined, right? They just didn't succeed where they were. Then they probably combination of they got better. Really, a lot of success is rooted in failure, right? I mean, if you're good enough, then you learn from the failures and they actually help you. And then you get to a better situation, and then all of a sudden it all comes together. So are the Titans ever going to be good enough to help him improve and be at his best? Or are they going to give up on him at some point, and then he's going to go somewhere else and look pretty good? I think he has the ingredients of being a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know, like almost all of them, I wouldn't expect him ever to be like a guy who can carry a franchise and make like a bad group look way better than it is, like a Mahomes does, like a Brady did, you know. But again, if you're holding out for that, then just keep holding your breath. I think he can be a good quarterback. I think he has the ingredients to be a good quarterback and a guy that you feel comfortable starting. And if he's on a great team, he might look like a great quarterback. Again, it's like, you know, again, the Goff thing is, I go back to that a lot just because of how I remember you and Stille got into that big, you were all over Stille, and I was with you. Goff's better than Tannehill, that's ridiculous. And Ed just asked me on the text line, who would you take Pete at their peak, you know? And it is close. I mean, I still actually think Tannehill is probably the more talented player, but Goff has done better in the postseason. But why? You know, when you have offensive line play and running backs and receivers and offensive coordinator like that, my God, what if Cam Ward had that? Like, if Cam Ward right now was put in that exact situation, would it look as good? I don't think so. But I bet you it'd look a heck of a lot better. So how far are the Titans from that? I mean, they feel like light years away from that, you know? So are they ever, you know, so like I think that he's going to hang in there, and they have to make a good choice here with the next coach. But like there's a lot of coaches out there who could probably coach Cam Ward and, you know, help him progress. It's just, do you give him clean pockets? Does he have someone who manipulates a defense and they're afraid of him downfield? Does he have someone who is a problem in the run game, and teams now, you suck those linebackers up and the play action is that much more effective? I mean, you know, are you going to give him that kind of help?
Well, we went through the needs yesterday in the aftermath of the McCreary trade, and we'll see what else is coming over the next week here. Are there more trades that the Titans are going to make? Are they done? Well, at that point, we'll see. But, I mean, they're light years away right now from being one of those rosters that you look at and you say, yeah, I mean, that roster is worthy of, like, Super Bowl contention. I mean, it's not even – it's almost laughable to bring up how far away they are from that. Now – how far away are they with their roster from being competent and good enough to where if he's the guy that you drafted him to be, he starts to elevate what's around him? Like, you know, I think it would be hard, not impossible, but hard for anybody in the league right now to elevate what they got out there right now. I mean, the roster is horrific, and now they've started trading other people off. Their defense is terrible. Calvin Ridley's been hurt. They're dealing with rookies out there for the most part who are their pass catchers at the moment. And that's fine. Like, those guys have showed well, but they're rookies. And they're fourth-round rookies at that. So, like, the roster's in a bad spot right now when it comes to that. How close are they? Can in one offseason, can they do a good enough job where nobody's saying they're going from just absolute bottom of the barrel to top where they're competing for meaningful things next year? But can you get yourself to a point where you can start to properly evaluate the quarterback, right? Because right now they're not there. Like, can you get yourself to the point where you can start to properly evaluate the quarterback and put him at least in a spot where his skills can translate and hopefully he can start to elevate your roster.
Right. And in the meantime, he has to get better too. I mean,
like, no doubt.
It's okay for him to independently just be better. And so then if you have that combination of he takes a step, it's coming out a little bit quicker. You know, he's just, you know, like, there's so much. I mean, it's a complex game, you know. I mean, when it comes down to, like, quarterbacks and pre-snap and immediate post-snap reads and all that stuff. And then, yeah, I would say yes. It doesn't mean they will. It's not easy to do. But, yes, you, in one off season, you can and it's like it's you can do things, but then also there's like, okay, is Latham year three better? Like Skaronski here in year three looks pretty good. Is that happened with Latham? You know, things like that. Some of the other individuals that you just are stuck with, like you are going with those guys. Well, are they going to get better? And then the coaching too. The coaching is huge. I mean, it's as much as it's like, you know, it's about players, not plays. I mean, in football and the NFL. Some coaches have a great feel for maximizing talent and just play calling and designing and game planning and adjusting in a game and all those things. And he hasn't had that at a high level. You know, what does it look like if he has that at a high level?
It would certainly help because it's been bottom of the barrel on that front as well. Let's head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a great day to be a Duck out here, man. I tell you that.
It's wet.
So I feel like you're kind of asking about like a comparison or an analogy. And so, like, whenever I saw this whole thing go down between Cam Ward getting drafted here and the current state of the team, I didn't feel like the state of the team was worth it. But it kind of reminded me to some of those high school couples you was around where, you know, all they do is bicker with one another, and then both sets of friends on either side tells them, look, y'all just need to break up. And then they just come back and say, hey, we're going to adopt a puppy together. And you're like, oh, great. That's probably the last thing you two need right now. You know, that's kind of how I see this relationship, knowing of all the other shortcomings, and there really wasn't a lot of foundation before going out and getting a quarterback. They just went all in and got him. And now, you know, like you said, Joe, you're just kind of stuck with what you got. So, you know, I'm here for the ride, but I tell you what, it's a bumpy one. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. A couple thoughts I want to get to on that front as it relates to the Titans. We will do that. Coming up next, take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We will get into the Nashville Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. They lose last night to Tampa Bay, and offense is bad to begin the year. We will get into that coming up. A common theme around here, losing and bad offense.
It's so unfair. I need like a historical like review. There's been plenty of cities that have had bad teams and like bad teams at the same time, but bad teams that can't score.
It's a horrific combo.
For this long at the same time. How many cities have dealt with this crap?
It is a horrific combo. So we will get into that with the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. A couple thoughts on the Cam Ward thing as it relates to the quarterback discussion we've had. And again, I want to be clear, we're 8 games into his career. They could have a great offseason, add a lot of things to the roster, and things can change quickly around here. And we, you know, who knows? We could be talking about instead of a 1-7 Titans team, like a 4-4 Titans team at this point next year. So who knows? We'll see what happens on that front. My fear right now is the same as it was when they drafted him, and I would probably say has intensified a little bit since they drafted him. And again, to remind people, you and I both said, don't draft Cam Ward, make a trade, collect some picks, add to the roster, and then figure out quarterback a little bit down the road. They didn't do that, so there's no point in reliving that at the moment. But, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, is Cam Ward that good where with everything else you need on your roster that he's the guy you take? Because I said that, like, if you believe he is, then I always take the quarterback in that situation. Like, if you think Cam Ward is just unquestionably going to be great, then that's what you do. if you're the Titans. My fear at the time was as much to do with Cam Ward as it was the Titans. Like, it probably more so. I was like, well, it's the Titans are the ones who are drafting him. And situation matters. And team matters. And development matters. And we talked about at the end of last year, you're heading into a situation, if you're Ward, where you got a coach that just went 3-14. They fired the general manager. And I think everybody could see heading into the year that if there wasn't dramatic improvement, the coach is probably going to be fired. And it went even worse than I thought heading into the year. And he was gone basically in the blink of an eye of his second NFL season. So you got that in the backdrop of all of it. The roster's bad. There's the ownership situation that we've talked about ad nauseum here that has just made poor decision after poor decision. And it's a bad spot. And she's getting crushed around the league. And it's just a bad situation. And my fear now is the same as it was when they drafted Cam Ward, which is, man, are the Titans just going to absolutely ruin him? And I can't say that I've seen anything this year that makes me less scared of that moving forward.
Yeah,
and that doesn't mean ruin him for his entire career. But the whole thing we're talking about here is like all these quarterbacks are popping up elsewhere with teams they weren't drafted by and playing really well. And good for Cam Ward, I guess, if it works out that way. But that didn't do the Titans any good if he goes somewhere else and is good later in his career.
Yeah, so, look, I mean, unless it goes really bad, and I think the way he's playing, like, again, the last game gives me more confidence. I think it was possibly his best game. I understand what happened in the fourth quarter against Arizona, so I guess you'd probably hold that up when you have a 190-yard fourth quarter, right? But I thought last game was – might have been his best game. I think he's going to progress to a certain point. I don't know what – I don't know where he ends up. I don't know what the ceiling is exactly. Can he be totally consistent? Can he get the footwork consistent? All that stuff and be more accurate more often. But, I think they're going to – as long as it's not something where he falls – I mean, when you draft someone first overall, like, you're going to get every opportunity. So, you know, it really comes down to do you believe, like Mike Borgonzi, this draft, again, take him out of it. It's about the draft will be defined by Cam Ward, but take him out of it. How does this draft look? I mean, I think the second-round pick is a big question. But there's some good things in there, right?
Yep.
Can you keep drafting well? You have all this cap space. I mean, you should be able to do some things to help the guy a lot. If you went and did the Sam Darnold thing – what would Sam Darnold be looking like right now? Now, that would mean something else different, right? Obviously, in the draft, you move down. Maybe you get Abdul Carter.
You're talking about the Titans signing Sam Darnold.
I'm saying if the Titans sign Sam Darnold this offseason, because Darnold looks great, again, out there in Seattle. Darnold, like Daniel Jones, is going to have to show people he can rise up and play really well in a postseason game.
Right.
But I'm also not discounting that as a possibility. I mean, he's good. He's a good quarterback, you know? Like Sam Darnold right now, you would take that. A lot of teams around this league would take that. Certainly the Titans would too. But if you took him, what would it look like right now? You know, let's say you probably would have ended up with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it might not look all that good. We might be talking about, oh, yeah, well, actually Sam Darnold is not very – I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I always go back to Goff. If Goff were here right now, I mean, you can see things as quickly as you want. You can be as accurate as you want. It would look a little better, but wouldn't look that good.
Are the Titans really going to win a lot with this roster if you just swap out the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Probably not, right? Maybe you would push for a wild card at best, but what's the long-term goal there? Like, do you really just want to be in the middle with Darnold and a terrible roster?
No, but I mean, I think the idea of that is, if you think he's good, then obviously then you address other things, and at some point maybe you have an opportunity to draft one. But again, these teams, I mean, look at how many of these teams are, yeah, it's great when you have an Allen, a Mahomes, a Lamar, a Burrow, homegrown, and they're great, and you grow with them. That's great. But there's a lot of other teams in this league who are legit threats with quarterbacks on their second trip and their second stop, you know?
That's the thing with Darnold and Jones, too. Like, they're 28 years old. Like, if if this is what Daniel Jones is or close to it, I mean, he could be the quarterback for the Colts for the next 10 years. Like, he could. I'm not saying he will, but he could. Like, Baker Mayfield, he's 30. Like, he's going to be in Tampa for a while. So, I mean, that's the other thing here is, you know, the second, and all of these guys are on more than their second stop, by the way, but these third, fourth stop quarterbacks that are playing really well right now, a lot of them are still relatively young when it comes to quarterback and can and have a lot of runway left in their career.
And then some, yeah, they do. Again, I don't think Mac Jones is going to be a starter. I don't think Zach Wilson is going to be a starter. Who else has been discarded who probably just – I mean, obviously, like, Josh Rosen is a great example of, like, please leave the league.
Yeah.
My goodness. So there's that, too. And so, you know, Mariota, just – it's like, yeah, he's a backup. You know, he's a good backup. That's what he is. Yeah. So I've heard Stilley and others say the Titans ruined him. I reject that. I think we finally saw maybe the injuries, maybe the broken leg did to some extent, but that also happened. So it was just one player who got sacked and it was an awkward fall. I mean, I think that over time you saw, yeah, he doesn't quite have it. And that may be the case with Cam Ward too. I do think that Cam Ward is going to get the time, like Mariota did, to prove or disprove that he's the guy.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get into this with Kuharski later in the program as well. Get his thoughts on all this. Again, the NFL trading deadline coming up next week, so we'll get Paul's thoughts on all things the Titans could do between now and then. All that coming up later in the show as well. Coming up next, the Preds fall last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was not pretty, and it's not been pretty all year to this point offensively. What do we make of what we're seeing from the Preds, and where do we think things go from here? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.